Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. Welcome back, everyone, to Sparkle Speak. This is Catherine, and I have today with us a very special guest. Her name is Ruth, and she is a mother of four daughters. She's retired now. She has 15 grandkids, and as she pointed out, none of them live in Michigan, which I'm sure is very hard. But she has been a widow for almost 20 years, right, Ruth?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she has just a lot of wisdom and special thoughts to share with us today. I'm really excited to hear her story. So thank you, Ruth, for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah.
It's all God's story. That's for sure.
I know. Yeah. That's how all these stories are. It's really cool to hear.
Absolutely.
So one of the first questions we always ask people is, what does Christianity mean to you?
Well, to me, I have a really deep understanding of my need for God, that I was born a sinner, and that without Jesus' blood on the cross, that even the most righteous thing that I could ever do on earth would not satisfy the penalty for my sin. And so I am so eternally grateful for God giving His son Jesus to die on the cross for us, so that when He looks at me, bumps, warts, and all, that He sees that precious blood of Jesus, and that I can have a clean heart that is clean because of God. But I still do fail, and I still am learning, and this is not a sprint, but this is a marathon of life. So always learning and growing and digging deeper. And sometimes you have to pull weeds.
Yeah, that's so true. So, yeah. And this is where I love kind of asking this question too, because this is where we really get to know you and hear your unique story. But so how did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or like, how did you come to know the Lord, and what has that journey and marathon, as you worded it, how's that been for you?
Well, I grew up in a believing home. My father was a pastor, and rather on the strict side. And then he moved into being a teacher at a Christian college. And so there was a lot of pressure for us as children to be behaved. He had a tendency to take scripture and kind of, I would say, hang it over our head, you know. And there are verses that talk about if a man, you know, is not running his household well, then he shouldn't have positions of authority and things. So we grew up with really needing to mind our P's and Q's. When I was going to graduate from high school, I was planning on going away to college. And then I met the man that became my husband. And we were very young. I was only 18. I was a senior in high school. He was in his first year of Bible college. And we met in October and just really, really adored each other. And we had gone to a seminar that I won't mention the name of it, but we really understood that God does speak through our parents. And back in the 70s, you really did revere and respect your parents. And we looked to them for blessing and viewed that as God directing our lives through what they had to say. So since we had gone to that seminar, we had already purposed in our hearts, as we had talked about possibly getting married, that if either of our parents said no, we would figure not necessarily wrong person, just wrong time. So we approached, well, Andy approached his parents, and his parents didn't have a problem. And my parents said yes. which really surprised me because my parents got married very much later in life, after their 30s. His mother was 16 and his dad was 18. So I had already been accepted to a college. And when I let them know that I was engaged, they let me know that they did not allow engaged single people to come to school. They felt that would be a disruption. So that kind of changed our plans. So I graduated from high school in May and we were married in August. So we didn't even know each other for a full year. He was the baby of the family, the only boy, and I was the oldest daughter. I have two sisters and a brother. And so we got married, and at that stage of life where we were committed to the Lord, we really did. Both of us knew the Lord as our Savior and we were committed to Him. We were asked, if you can believe it, to do the senior high program at the church we were attending, which now I just laugh because I was the same age as some of the kids that were in high school, you know, in their senior year of school. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we did that. And then when my husband graduated from college, we decided that we wanted to start a family. And during the time when he was still in school, he had really started to wonder about just how there seemed to be this big emphasis on man's will and not so much on God and God's sovereignty. So at that time in our lives, we were in our young 20s, our minds started to change a little bit more to the emphasis of God's sovereignty, Him having providence over our lives, how things had to go through His fingers first. Not that we didn't have responsibility and had to respond, but that God just wasn't being given enough credit, and too, that we weren't relying enough on Him. So things started changing for us then. So we had two children, and we helped to start a church because we felt that the fundamentals that we had been learning, which some people I would call them Reformed. I would say that we were more Reformed, more like a Presbyterian theology, but not liberal. So that's where we went. So that's really when we really, really grew, because, you know, we learned a lot of doctrine. We did a lot of teaching that was, I can't even think of what the name of that word is. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank of the style of preaching. But anyways, expository preaching, you know, where you take it and you go through sequentially and then you tie things together, like from the Old Testament, how it relates to the New Testament, and just the correlation between things. Yes. So that's kind of where we were at. So my husband worked for his father, who had a business, and we had children. And so I stayed at home. And of course, then I got involved in reading books like that Edith Schaefer had written. And then I read Elizabeth Elliot, and she was very well known for saying, do the next thing. And so we were just young and very happy to be growing, and also to be very actively involved in the church that we were in, and sharing our faith and being hospitable and having people in our home. And it just kept going from there, you know? So we were in that church for a really long time. We helped to start the church, actually. And we were there. And well, when Andy passed away, the attendance had been declining. And I knew that that chapter of my life season of my life was going to be closing. And I really needed a church that had a high school youth program. The thing through it all was that God was always faithful. And there were many times I got put into a business situation that I was totally unfamiliar with because I had been a homemaker for so long. And our girls are almost 15 years apart, the oldest and the youngest. So anyways, I had a lot on my plate. Sometimes I laughed and said I felt like I was an acrobat, you know, with all those plates flying in the air, just trying to keep them up on the sticks and keep them spinning and not having any of them crash.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like God, you know, has been there all along in your life. I mean, He has been in all of our lives, whether we know it or not, but it sounds like you, you know, really recognized Christianity for what it was, and you you know, knew the Lord throughout your life. And that's cool that that was a common thread through, you know, all the seasons and chapters of your life that you walked through. And it sounds like, you know, God's just been deepening that relationship. So that's really cool to hear. But I guess my next question for you would be like, what experiences have you had that have shaped or changed your view of God? And I don't know, I'm just guessing here, but I'm wondering if, you know, the loss of your husband was something that really was prominent, because that's so, I don't know, just traumatic, I guess, just
it was very
someone.
Traumatic. Oh yes. Yeah. That was very traumatic. And he had pancreatic cancer. So we only had him for 2 months, and he did not want to pass away. He did not want to leave this earth. And it wasn't that he didn't want to be with Jesus, but there were just so many things that were going on here with the girls and the stage of life that they were in, that he couldn't even wrap his head around the fact that God was going to call him home. And so I would say that I did a lot of wrestling with God. So I have a lot of empathy for a variety of things that I never would have had. I've struggled with just quite a few things, and I'm not going to go into some nitty gritty that I dealt with, but things were really dark and bleak for me a couple of years ago. And I really felt abandoned by God. And it wasn't that he had abandoned me, but I just was really missing, especially during COVID, contact with people and community. That's a big part of my life, and it means a lot to me. So that was really challenging, but God has restored the years that the locusts took, is how I feel. And I've learned a lot, and I'm, as I said, I'm much more empathetic in so many different areas. I've learned to give grace to people that before things were pretty black and white, I want to say in our earlier years, and now to discern between, am I watching and seeing what fruit is being born, or am I being judgmental? That's the real big thing. And then two, to not take things personally when things do come up that are kind of confusing, you know, give the other person the benefit of the doubt that maybe there's something going on in their lives that you don't know about and you don't need to know about, but you can certainly pray for them. And then you just need to respect whatever their wishes are, wherever they're at.
Yeah, I think that's so wise. And I love that you even just said that you're not going to paint a rosy picture of something that just wasn't rosy, because I think a lot of times, and I don't know if it's a Christian thing or what, but sometimes I know I personally feel the need to tie a pretty ribbon and bow on everything that
yes.
happens. It's like,
yes.
let's button this up and make sense of it. And
yes.
try to say, yeah, this was hard, but right. the rainbow, and here's where it was all amazing. And it's like,
right.
I do believe that God does that. I mean, scripture speaks of that, but to right. your point, it isn't always pretty. And sometimes we don't live to see the meaning behind something or
right.
The purpose. Yeah. And we just have, that's where faith comes in, where we believe that there is something happening in the background, whether we see it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really privileged to do a book study this last fall. And it was really good, because back in the 70s and 80s, as I referred to before, things were just so legalistic. And there was so much, it's almost like a Pharisee, you know, so much focus on the outward, what you did do, what you didn't do, and not more on what was going on inside. And there was not an opportunity to be truthful about what was going on. So I took a class, and I'll just read you real quick the 8 little chapters that we did, but they were very thought provoking to me. And then also freeing, convicting, and then affirming to where God had been. And they all start with quit. And it was being afraid of what others think, which is such an easy trap to fall into. Mm-hmm. Lying. It's amazing how we have a hard time being truthful with ourselves sometimes. And so we don't think about that. So, and then dying to the wrong things. If you're saying yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. And which is the greater thing that God has called you to do? And that's, everybody has to decide that for themselves between them and God. Next was denying anger, sadness, and fear. There's this thing within the Christian world that, you know, like you said, everything has to be tied up with a little ribbon, nice, neat, and pretty. You could have fought all the way to church, but you walk in the door and everybody's smiling and happy. And it's like, that's not really real, you know? Mm-hmm. Another one is blaming. It's really easy to blame instead of being a little bit introspective and seeing if there was something that maybe we were blind to. In this day and age, now I think COVID has changed some of this overfunctioning. When we were newly married and stuff, it was not unusual for a man to work 60, 70 hours a week, and that was just fine. But that's to the neglect of the family. That can, you know, if you have a family, you really have to evaluate what is really purposeful and what you need as a family, and then what is being excessive and really not necessary. And then faulty thinking, and that can be in every area of life. And then lastly, living someone else's life. We have to remember that God made us unique. He made us who we are with our desires. And he knew us before we were even created. It says he knew us before we were even in the womb. So, you know, there's been a lot through the years. I would say there's been a lot of freedom though that has come that I didn't have through my earlier years. And then also, thankfully, times have changed, and I'm so happy to see men being more involved with their families and realizing the importance of more than just family devotions with the kids. And, you know, we read and that's it, and that's good. And, you know, the positive benefit that comes from discussing your kids, and really, as scripture says, we're supposed to do things with our kids when we're walking, when we're lying down, when we're eating, you know, all those things. And I love it that there seems to be a lot more interaction going on and a lot less of, well, this is her duty and that's his duty, you know. Mm-hmm. But that gets into the whole marriage thing, and that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, definitely. But I love your little tidbits and insight into it, because that is so helpful. And even just those 8 tips that you just recited, I think those are really resourceful. What book did you say that those were from?
Oh, that it's a really good series. It's called The Emotionally Healthy Woman. And there's a whole bunch of books. There's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Emotionally Healthy Marriage, Emotionally Healthy Church. And it's written by Jerry Cesaro, and her name is with a G, and her last name is S like Sam, Cazzero. And then she wrote this with her husband, Peter. And you can Google them on YouTube. It's a really, they just have a really different way of looking at things. The value of solitude, the value of meditating, really taking a look at why, when things are not working, why are they not working? What do we keep doing that we keep going round and around on this merry-go-round and we don't see improvement? And real quick for their story, he was a pastor of a church, but he was so overcommitted and so bent on growing the church that he was neglecting the family and neglecting her. And after 7 years, she told him she was quitting his church.
Oh my goodness.
That got his attention real fast. So yeah. That's why that series came out of this, but it's an excellent series. And I think it gives us permission to go back to the basics and like, why does God have us here? God has us here because he wants us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us doing, he wants us to be who he has made us to be. And I think that that's just a beautiful thing. But I have to be honest, this part of my growing part has just been a real, much more recent kind of a thing, you know? So it's helped me though with relationships, and it's been really, really profitable. And then I am doing another class where we're digging deep And, you know, are we, am I cooperating with God? Or, let's see. I can't remember what the word was. I got to look it up really quick here because it was so good. Oh, am I contending with God or am I cooperating with God? They're just things that I think that in the past there was, okay, I've read my devotions. I'm good, ready to go. And really to sit with God, what does it mean to sit with God, to listen to God, to hear God? And I think that that is something that's a discipline, and sadly it's been lost, you know, through the years and changes and denominational changes and all sorts of things. But I'm really encouraged because I do see a real trend for things to be coming back around and to be questioning things that really are good questions. You know, it's almost like you have to give yourself permission. And it's like, now wait, God is God. He's a big God. He can take this, and he knows us anyways, right? You know, he knows what's in our heart. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise to him, but we want to act like we can hide it.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work that way. Nothing can be hid from God. I mean, if we go to heaven, he's, you know, we can go to the depths of hell. We're not hiding from him. So he already knows. So how much better and healthier it is for us to really truly dig and be honest. And, you know, sometimes there's weeping. But I always say, you know what? Jesus wept. He was the Son of God. He wept when Lazarus was dead. It didn't say he shed a tear. He wept, and he knew he was going to raise that man from the dead. And he also knew that that man would have another physical death at a point. And so I guess I'm just too really valuing more words in scripture, you know, just like pulling out a word like that, Jesus wept, which that is the shortest verse in the Bible, but it has, it carries such power with it. And it gives me permission to be okay with the fact that I wept instead of trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really, really great. Yeah, I just appreciate you so much sharing these things and just your, you know, authenticity and sharing what real things you've gone through, because I think that sometimes as Christians, we just feel the need to be perfect and the need to say, like, well, you know, even through hard times, I've always had faith and I've always trusted. And so I think it's really refreshing just to hear you really trying to be honest and speaking that honesty and giving permission to other people to be honest, because we don't always hear that in the Christian church. And so I think that's really, really great.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram @_sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
There's no better way to start your day than spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Don't know where to start? We have a free daily prayer podcast created to help you do just that. The Your Daily Prayer podcast delivers a thoughtful devotional and timely prayer to you 7 days a week. Gain inspiration, faith, and encouragement with daily messages in 10 minutes or less. To start listening now, search Your Daily Prayer on your favorite podcast app or visit lifeaudio.com.